Hi, I'm Amy Halloran, the Food Security Manager at Unity House, and we are here for another 10 minutes about the food environment in Troy. Today, I'm very excited to have Gina Kim from Sunhee's Farm Restaurant in Troy, in the old Volcano Restaurant, as I recall it.
Yes.
So, Gina, I brought you here because I'm really excited about the kind of work that you're doing. And I want you to describe it to us.
Sure. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me here. Our food is one of the great mediums that we do share our stories. And in particular, we want to use the food to share the stories of immigrants and refugees who are working with us. I myself am an immigrant American, and we highlight Korean cuisine, which is my national cuisine. So at Sunhee's, we have a farm up in Cambridge, New York. It's connected to my family's farm. But not only that, we have this mission of combining educational services for adults right in the workplace so that we can use the work site as a place of learning, as a place of gaining language skills, work skills, but also really forming that community. And again, being that platform to share the stories of each individual who comes our way.
To the audience that's coming in just as a supposed eater.
Yeah, yeah. And so we draw people from all spectrums of life, and we have a very diverse audience. Some people come knowing about our mission, but I would say most people come having no idea what our mission is, but they come because of the food. Sometimes they learn about it. Oftentimes they don't, and they just walk away. But I think they get that sense of something warm, inviting, and welcoming in our space, which is the message that we want to get to everyone.
Right. It feels different to me, not just because I grew up in that space and I can remember the diorama of the deer in the background and the volcano, but you walk in there and you can feel like you put an effort into all of the decisions. Can you talk a little bit about the environmental impact of restaurants and what you did to do that? And then also what else you did physically to structure a welcoming environment?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'll talk about the space in itself. I've told people this many times, but it was me and my dad, for the most part, working on the space. I and my dad, we were both working full-time jobs at the time. We had 2 months to get everything ready. Every night after 5 p.m., we would make that our second job, and we'd just be laboring away at the space on a daily basis. And we had a lot of fights in that space, a lot of disagreements about little details, and I really had to fight for those details in order for it to be what it is today. And I think it's all the little things that you wonder if anyone will notice, but I think they go in there. People now go into the space and feel that labor of love. They feel the sweat equity that was poured into it. And a lot of people say that it feels like home for that reason. And I really do think the involvement that my family has had with me working together and all the sweat and tears that were poured into that project, it shows right now. And as for just being more environmentally conscious, we have this farm space and now this restaurant, and we were extremely unfamiliar with the restaurant business coming in. This was our first time in the food industry, but we did notice that there was this opportunity to connect the two, most obviously by bringing produce from the farm, but also being able to take scraps to the chickens at the farm. And so it's like this big ecosystem of how can we reduce waste? Yes, we had to make this active decision to spend and invest more money into compostable bowls and lids and even having stainless chopsticks and more reusables in our restaurant. We even have a compost station. And that that was a big kind of debate in our own minds of, okay, why should we be making customers do the work of composting and their stuff? But again, we really do view our restaurant to be an educational space, and we want every person who walks in the door to be a participant in that. And we find that having the compost station, even though it can be inconvenient and annoying at times, we want that to be an educational opportunity where we engage with our customers and also give them the opportunity to know what's happening with their waste.
That's so great. I was so thrilled the first time I saw it all laid out, because I think it's a real leadership position to take in Troy, and that's great. So that's the other thing I want to talk about is you mentioned your family not being a restaurant family. So how did you decide? What did you do before? And how did you decide that this was the necessary thing to do?
Sure. And my family was always in small business. They came here, worked their way up, and was able to start a jewelry store in Albany. So my father was a jeweler in downtown Albany for about, more than 15 years. And so we always knew what it was like to be in small business. But they moved onto the farm in Cambridge just about 5 years ago because they wanted to learn more about where their food comes from. And my family is by no means from a rural area in Korea either. They come from a very urban area in Korea. So farming was totally new for them. But I think it was that entrepreneurial spirit that gave them the courage to just, you know, try and fail, grow different things. And once we had a surplus, we were just kind of like thinking of new avenues to explore and ways that we can share that food. For myself, my background is in social services, so I worked in refugee settlement for a few years. And I found food to be this amazing thing that brings people together. It's also, I think the restaurant industry is a great place to have your first job. And so with all that in mind, we pieced things together. A lot of it was timing. So I had just moved back into the region to work with the local resettlement agency. And what had initially been a five-year plan, we found just that perfect space, the old volcano. It's a beautiful, you know, tribute restaurant where people have been going there and dining there since the 1930s, or even sooner, earlier than that. And so for us, it was just all the strings, you know, coming in, coming together and being intertwined. And we knew that it was the time to take that leap of faith.
That is so amazing, and I'm so grateful that you did. So tell me about the other support systems that you're developing for refugees.
And by support system, I think it really is a mutual support system. I feel that our restaurant wouldn't be able to function and exist and be as successful as it is without, and any business owner can tell you, it's all dependent on your employees. And so everyone who works with us are hardworking, and mostly refugees and immigrants. We also employ Americans or immigrant Americans, but we've tried to build a structure where someone can work with us and learn with us at the same time. So it's kind of like a one pit stop for all. We're not trying to take the place of resettlement agencies, because I think those initial resettlement services need to have special support. But for us, we really focus on job development, career development for people who want to maybe, you know, get their first job and then find a better job in the future. And we understand that learning English is one of the main things and main challenges that an immigrant can have when coming into the country. So we have English classes right on site, Monday through Thursday. We now have two levels, both beginner and intermediate advanced. Now we're also doing computer education courses where we pair with an adult with a one-on-one volunteer. So they'll we'll sponsor them to purchase a laptop and then also complete a 20-hour educational program with that volunteer. So we're looking to grow that. We're not sure what it looks like, but we just bought a couple buildings, calling it Sunny's Community Place, as the main central location where those services will take place. But again, we want to focus more on education and empowerment and thinking about long-term investment into the people that we work with.
That's great. I really applaud that effort. I can't say enough about how useful it is to have you doing the specific work you're doing, but also bringing social justice into this burgeoning restaurant spot of Troy.
Yeah, and I think quite naturally we've become the voice for immigrants and refugees, and we find that it's become our responsibility to speak on that behalf. And as a for-profit and small business, we don't have any kind of limitations when it comes to speaking on behalf of the people that we represent. So for us, it's really a privilege, and we really want to highlight those stories when it's necessary, mm-hmm. But also just creating that safe place where people can come and have community, but also supporting the already existing communities out there for different ethnicities.
Do you see a need or a possibility for mirror facilities like yours for other ethnicities as they settle in Troy? Do you think that this could be duplicable? Probably I'm jumping the gun because you're...
No, and that's the hope. We hope that people will look at our model and see that it's successful, it's sustainable, it's purposeful, and that they'll want to do something similar. So anyone who does want to come and learn about it, we very much welcome it. And we want to work with future entrepreneurs and other immigrants and people who have come as refugees. If they want to start businesses, that's what we're here for.
Well, that's great. Mm-hmm. I can't thank you enough for being a bridge between food and need, mm-hmm. in so many ways.
Thank you so much.
Coming in. I'm Amy Halloran, and this has been another 10 minutes about the food environment in Troy. I'm the food security case manager at Unity House, and today we were talking with Gina Kim from Sun He's Farm Kitchen.